Yasin, by the Quran full of wisdom, thou art indeed one of the messengers on a straight way. It is a revelation sent down by him, the exalted in might, most merciful, in order that thou mayest admonish a people whose fathers had received no admonition, and who therefore remain heedless of the signs of Allah. The word is proved true against the greater part of them, for they do not believe. We have put yokes round their necks right up to their chins, so that their heads are forced up and they cannot see. And we have put a bar in front of them and a bar behind them, and further, we have covered them up so they cannot see. The same is it to them, whether thou admonish them or thou do not admonish them, they will not believe. And Allah speaks the truth.
Surah Al-Nisa, which is chapter 4, verses 1 to 5.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم
Reverence your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from them twain scattered like seeds countless men and women. Fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wounds that bore you, for Allah ever watches over you. To orphans, restore their property when they reach their age, nor substitute your worthless things for their goodness. And devour not their substance by mixing it up with your own. For this is indeed a great sin. If you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphans, marry women of your choice, two or three or four. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, or a captive that your right hand possesses. That will be more suitable to prevent you from doing injustice. And give the women on marriage their dower as a free gift. But if they, from their own good pleasure, remit any part of it to you, take it and enjoy it with right good cheer. To those weak of understanding, make not over your property, which Allah has made a means of support for you, but feed and clothe them therewith, and speak to them words of kindness and justice. And Allah speaks, surely Allah speaks. We've been told that Imam Muhammad is in the house, so to speak. And I don't just want to disrespect him to hold back his time, but he's here. We'd like to bring him before us to discuss it.
ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Praise be to Allah, the Lord, the Lord of the world, who witnessed that there is no God, no divine, but Allah, and who witnessed that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is Allah's servant and messenger. We pray the prayer and the peace be on him as what follows of that traditional salute to the last servant and messenger of God, prophet of God. Dear sisters, let me first say that I just come off the road and we were doing our best to arrive here at 2 o'clock That was very, very much difficult for us, almost impossible. We attended the conference in Kansas City of the Islamic Society of North America last night, and had a wonderful brotherly union with them in the program. And were there late, and we hadn't eaten, so by the time we left there and got dinner and retired, it was very late. So we got very little sleep, and we hit the road early this morning flew to Midway, by Southwest Airlines, Midway, Chicago, Midway Airport, Chicago. And from there, we drove here. We met the other cars and drove here. So I'm just off the road, and I would like to be in the house. But believe me, I'll do as God tells us to. I'll come in by proper doors. First, let me thank you, Sister Amitola Fukaku, and the Sisters Association. Let me thank you for the honor of addressing me here today. We do have some concerns, very serious concerns, for improving the treatment of females. Allah Most High, as you know, you who study Quran or follow the teachings of Islam, keep up with the message of Islam that's being propagated in America. Our news media, newspaper, and the news media that we have, we have cable television and whatever. You who study Quran or read Quran and keep up with what is going on for Muslims in America, I'm sure you are aware of what I'm bringing, the concern I'm bringing to you, and you are aware of what we are doing, trying to do, to bring about the situation that Allah wants for us based upon what He revealed to Muhammad in the Quran and what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, established for us as an example for us to follow. Our concerns mainly are in two areas. The international area, that is the international ummah. We know that in the international ummah, most of our men are not given the treatment to the females that Allah and His Messenger has ordered. We know that. And I have to admit that in America, we are in a very, I would say, serious situation, because many of us are newly converted to Islam, and many of our men are not authorities on what God has revealed and what the Prophet himself established regarding the treatment of females or proper regard for women. We know that most of our men are not informed. And what complicates that is that the international world of Islam is itself not yet where it should be, again, regarding the proper respect for females, the proper respect for men. We can misinterpret so many things very easily, and we can make judgments without knowledge very easily. Before going further, let me say to you that whatever Allah has revealed in the Quran, if we are Muslims, we have to accept that. Whatever Allah has established through His Messenger, Muhammad, we have to accept that. There's no question. There's no way for us to question that. We have to accept that. But there's a lot of ignorance. Many of us don't know the whole picture. We can take something, a little part, and move on that and not know the other part that balance that, or give balance to that, or give fuller meaning to that. You see, and it's very important to know the Quran in its context,
in this context. For example, to know what a Muslim is, you don't go to any other source book. To know what a Muslim is, we go to the Quran. That's where the best definition comes, the first and the best definition comes to us of what a Muslim is. Likewise, for the treatment of women. If we want to know the treatment of women, we don't go to what this writer said, or that writer said, or this imam said, or that imam said. First, no, we have to go to the Quran first. And unless those writers, those imams, those are scholars, those authorities, respect first what Allah has revealed in the Quran and what is established in the life of the Prophet, then we are on weak footing if we are influenced or accept what they are saying. Oh, I know you want me to say right away. Can we have, can our brothers have more than one wife? Don't ask me because I don't have permission to give them that right. Ask the Quran, ask Allah, ask the Quran, can they do that? Now, let me, for the sake of clearing the air, better than that, more serious than that, let me, for the sake of turning on the light, say this. The prevailing idea and principle or rule in our religion and in our life is justice. God brings our attention to the need for justice and how he forces justice, brings about justice through the workings not only of man. If man won't obey, he brings it about through the workings of the natural world order, the physical world order. He will bring it about. God says that he has not created the universe except for just purpose, just end, just purpose. So justice is the overriding principle. In every matter, justice is the overriding principle. So if we deny a female something that she wants, we have to first ask, is it just? Is it justice to do that? And right away, without even consulting the Quran or the life of the Prophet, if we know in our hearts that that's not right, that's not just, then we should at least hesitate to do that or to continue that treatment or to continue to deny that to the female until we consult the Quran and the life of the Prophet. And most of the time, as Allah says in the Quran, what bothers the soul and the heart of a sincere person, human being, is most likely what God himself wants. So if something is bothering you, and you're a sincere believer, you're a good person, and you just can't find yourself living with that or accepting that, most likely God is on your side. Most likely God is on your side. Now there are some exceptions where we are ourselves so hurt, so deeply scarred and wounded, you know, that we can't see with normal eyes in our circumstances, you know. That happens sometimes, but that is very rare. God wants justice. God wants justice. It is not justice to dominate females, brothers. You're going to tell them, right? Brothers, very good brothers. And it's not right to dominate females. And at this point, let me concentrate on the international community of Muslims. In the international community of Muslims, what we have is the influence of local, national, ethnic, culture, life, our tradition. So you find the people still imposing, for example, I'm using a country that I have great admiration for, Pakistan. the country of Pakistan, you'll find the Pakistanis, they dress like the Indians, who are not Muslim. And you'll find some of us wanting to dress like the Pakistanis, but we think that's Muslim. And the Pakistani and the Hindu are dressing almost the same. They dress so similar, you can't all tell the difference. So, that's an example of local choice, the local choice of the people, that they have followed even before the Prophet, or the advent of Islam, or the advent of the Prophet, 1400 and so years ago. You see, they were following those traditions. And we should reason like this, that if Muslims don't have the same dress, if their dress are associated with their culture, with their nation and their culture, then we should also believe that their thinking is most likely designed too by their locale and their history in that locale, even before the Prophet brought Islam. Prayers and peace be upon him. This is how we should reason. So it leaves us again, I can't emphasize this enough, with the Quran. That's what we are to turn to. We are not to turn to any nation or any people, Egyptian, Saudi Arabian, or anybody else, for the model for ourselves, whether it be dress, behavior in society, or whether it be relationship, how we should perceive and understand relationships. And there is no relationship more, I would say, vital to the life of a society than the relationship of man and woman, especially in marriage. No relationship more important than that. God takes our life and our minds and our focus and our attention and interest all the way back to the beginning of the human family by saying that he created us, and the sister just has read from that chapter, that he created us from one soul. Now this nafs in wahida, you who understand a little Arabic, wahida is feminine. So if God created us min nafs in wahida, then it's talking about an entity that is given a description of feminine. And we know that we are created from Adam, the first man. But this is something, this is an idea of that first man that must not have anything to do with sex right now. Because God says he created him from nafsin wahida. Nafsin wahida. We know what that nafsin wahida is. The scholars know. The learned imams know. It's the soul, the common soul of the human being. We have one common soul. That's what God wants us to know first. That we all descended from out of and multiplied upon this earth from one common soul. The soul of man and woman, the same. That's what it's saying. How come this is in the Quran? Because there are some religions believing that God put a divine soul in the male and left that out of the female. That's how come the Quran comes like that, to correct that thinking in the religion. Understand this too, that though Islam is not to impose itself on any people, and Islam comes to be a light for the world. And our Prophet, prayers and peace be on him, he is a light for the world. Allah says he's a mercy to all people, to mankind. And we know that Allah says, and he is sufficient for all mankind. Kafir and linnas. That he is sufficient for all people, for all people. So don't think that he's only our model, that he's only our example. He is the leader of Muslims. But he is a model leader for all the world, for all nations, for all religions, for all people. Nafsin wahida, returning to that. Nafsin wahida. So the adjective description here in terms of gender addresses this first self, our first soul, as a feminine entity. As a feminine entity. That's what we have to understand. And Allah says, and he made from it its mate. And its mate is masculine. He made from it his mate, and his mate is masculine. Sister, please don't follow the Jewish feminine movement. Please, don't follow the Jewish women feminist movement. Please don't do that. You'll miss everything I'm saying. Yes. So he created the one mate, and he created Nefsen Rider, and then he made from it its mate. And its mate is masculine. Its mate is masculine. So here we have the soul before the man. The soul is before man. Whereas the other scriptures, especially one in particular, I don't want to name, because we don't want to have any conflict with any particular religion right now. Unless it's absolutely necessary. The idea is that, no, God did not make man first, and he was a separate entity and a sex entity, a male sex entity. No, that did not happen. God created the human nature first. He created the soul, which is the human nature. It is the repository. It is the essence of every person. The essence of every person. And it is the seed for everything that is possible for male and female. The soul. Everything possible for us is possible because of that human soul. Our intelligence evolves because of that human soul. And every other aspect of our human life evolves because of that human soul. That's why God said he created us like a plant, as a plant. A plant comes from a seed. And from that seed comes the plant that has both male and female in it. That's most plants, isn't it? That's characteristic of plants. From one seed that is not male or female, but has the power, the potential capacity to produce both, from the one seed comes the plant. And in the plant, in the plant, we find both the male and female, in the single plant. Mm-hmm. And everything possible for that plant was in the seed. If it can bear flowers, it was in the seed. If it can bear flowers and fruit, it was in the seed. If it can produce great amount of timber for us, it was in the seed. Whatever possible for it was in the seed. So when we look at these cities that man has designed, we see what is in the soul of every human being. But it so happened that God selected the woman to cherish the new life. She has to carry the life, and cherish the life, and protect the life until the life is ready to join the adult or mature society, members in the society. Because of that physiology that God has given the woman is held back from the broad and open field of exploration, etc. And God says that he has given the male a superiority over the female. And God doesn't leave us to wonder what explains that superiority. Or is it the superior soul, superior intellect? God didn't mention soul, didn't mention intellect, didn't mention morality, didn't mention spirituality. God says it's because of your more powerful physical structure. And because you have amassed a great wealth over many generations. You have been free to go out and explore the field, cultivate the earth, and become